This is my commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants any longer, because servants don't know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends, because everything I heard from my Father I have made known to you.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I am glad to be with you. This is home. For some of you know me. I was here before Pastor Brad, and I'm always honored when he asks me if I will come and preach when he is gone. And he told me that this theme for me was that it was Jesus as friend and companion. I said, oh, I really love that. And then he called me and told me that he was being moved. And I said, oh, I don't know if I love that anymore. And he said, would you mind talking about Jesus, but also remembering what's happening? And I said, absolutely. Jesus as friend and companion is absolutely one of my very favorite images of Jesus. It's the way I grew up in a church where Jesus, the stained glass window, Jesus was holding a lamb and looked so loving and calm. You heard Jesse read some scripture today from the Gospel of John. And some of the words in that gospel, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. And that I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have been known to you. Jesus calls us friends in this gospel, and that there is no greater love in the whole world than what we can do for our friends, to lay down our love for our friends. So I want to tell you a story first. Many, many, many years ago, before I became a minister, I worked for a large computer company. And the first few years of that stint that I did, I sat in a cubicle. And on the other side of the cubicle was a man named Larry. And Larry, when he got mad, this is what he did. And you have to pardon my French. Every time he got mad, he went, Jesus Christ. And I just used to just sit there and just shiver and shake. But he did it one day. And those of you know me, this will not surprise you. I took my chair. I moved it over to the wall of the cubicle. And I stood on it. And I leaned over. And I said, Larry, what's your very best friend's name? And he said, well, why? And I said, because every time I get mad, I'm going to use it as a cuss word. He got the point. He never did it again. And I heard years later he became an evangelical Christian. There's just no telling what can happen to a person. That was probably the best part of the whole story. So when you become a minister, you get asked all these questions over and over and over again, and you have to be able to answer them honestly. But it's not easy, because some of the questions you really don't know the answers to. And when I was becoming a minister so many years ago, people would ask me, so have you been saved by Jesus? And I decided that I had to sit down and think about what my answer to that was. Because it was true that Jesus was my friend and that I had lived this life and wanted to dedicate my life. But how did I answer that question? Well, I realized a few years later in my first church, a woman in the church who was a friend of mine said to me, do you know, Betty, if Jesus didn't walk out of that tomb, then there's no point in any of this. And I thought, whoa, now how do I answer that question for myself? Have you been saved by Jesus? Did Jesus walk out of the tomb? Well, the reason I tell you the story is because it took me a long time to figure out what it meant to follow Christ and to call Jesus my friend. I did a lot of soul searching, which I hope all of you do too. But I realized that I could answer the question easily. Yes, I had been saved by Jesus. But I also realized that it wasn't because Jesus walked out of the tomb that saved me. It wasn't that Jesus was my closest friend and companion because Jesus walked out of the tomb. My friend, my companion, had taught and lived in a way that he knew could get him killed. The sacrifice that he was willing to make was to walk into the tomb. To live in a way that gives all of us life, even if it meant his death. So I was able to answer the question. Jesus is my friend and my companion, and I know that we are in Lent, and that Lent is about sacrifice. I mean, some of us grow up thinking we have to give something up, or there's different ways that we sacrifice, but we do focus for a while about what has been done in our name, even if we don't understand the theology behind that, because Lent calls us to not just look at his sacrifice, but to wonder about what we can do for the world. The sacrifice was made by a friend so that we can be like him. Jesus never said, "Worship me." He said, "Follow me." And I've always known, and I think you probably do too, that that's a whole lot harder. The following me part, much more difficult. Now, you may be new here this morning and you might not know me, or you might be a visitor or not been coming for too terribly long. And so you might not be aware of what's happening with this congregation right now. But really soon, the people of this congregation are going to be asked to make a sacrifice. And it's fitting that you found out about it during Lent. Your friend, Pastor Brad, is going to move to lead another church. And I know what that feels like, both as a parishioner and as a pastor, and you kind of wonder if you can even bear the loss, because the church and Pastor Brad are tied together. Will it be the same? What will change? Some people even start wondering if they will stay. But during this time of Lent, for all of us, we remember who called us friend and who came that we might have life. Pastor Brad is a friend of a friend. Everything that Pastor Brad has done, all that he is giving you, all the ways that he has led you and been your friend, is because he is a friend of the friend in whose name we gather. There are people here right now, Karen Nielsen, Sonia, there are people in this church who have been gathering here for more years than many of you have been alive. This is the absolute truth. They've been here so long, and they've had to say goodbye to so many ministers. They've had to have the grief and the loss of the ones that were beloved. And maybe there were a few that left that they just said, "Oh, okay. About time for that one to go." But they never thought about leaving the church, because it wasn't the pastor that they were here for. It was hard. It's always hard. I remember saying goodbye to the most beloved pastor in my life in the United Methodist System when I was a layperson. And to this day, I think of him fondly because he meant so, so much to me. And that is the United Methodist system. But staying means helping to celebrate what has been done. And it's also a time of adventure and new possibilities. But you might not be able to see it right now. Another story. Wayne Hobson, for those of you who don't know Wayne, went on to glory. God rest his soul. When I announced I was leaving, he came to me, and in only the way Wayne could, because if you think I'm gutsy, Wayne had me way beat. He kind of whispered to me, "So, Pastor Brad will be my minister, but you will always be my pastor." And he was adamant. But you know what happened over the years? Pastor Brad became his pastor. Somebody dear and dear to him, somebody he relied on, somebody who was with him in the end. But Wayne couldn't see that then because he thought things were going to change, and there was just no way he could bear it that I was leaving. But I knew, like all of you who have been through this before know, that there's new life on the other side. For Wayne, a friend was leaving, but what I knew was a friend of a friend was leaving. The church is an imperfect vehicle. There's no question. Some days we wonder, right? But I've never been able to find another vehicle for finding our spiritual center, for a place to build community, to serve others, to give of our time and our resources, a place to pray and heal. All of those things happen in this place. And our lives as pastors are as a conduit to all those things, a conduit to the divine, to the sacred. And our greatest joy is when the work we have done has planted seeds for the next journey. The next journey of this wonderful, wonderful old church. There is nothing that makes most pastors sadder than to find out that things didn't keep going when they left. And Brad has done an amazing, amazing thing. I walked out of here with confidence, and he came in with more confidence. What I've told people is he's all that and a bag of chips. And he was the perfect person to follow somebody who was also all that and a bag of chips. He really was. He came in with confidence, young, trying new things, and the work and the seeds have been planted for whatever comes next. So your sacrifice in this time of Lent may be to ponder what your work is in the continuation of the work that you did together with him. Because there is no Lent without Easter Sunday. There is no loss, no grief, no sacrifice without resurrection. And this is true of all of our personal losses, our griefs, the sacrifices we carry, the burdens we carry in our lives and in our hearts. Jesus' words that is your theme for Lent this year: "I came that you might have life." Is that the most glorious thing? I came that you might have life. It's a reminder that through every dark time, every miscalculation, every horrible mistake, every sacrifice, every loss, every grief, there Christ is with his promise. I came that you might have life. There's nothing more beautiful than to carry those words with you all through these places we go, because it was his profound choice to come and give us life. It was his profound choice to do what he needed to do, even though he knew he was going to be walking into that tomb. And all the time, calling the people around him friends, and through all these years, calling us friend. There is no greater love than to lay down your life for a friend. So one of those friends right now is Pastor Brad. For you to minister to him, to be here for him, to comfort him, to pray for him, and to send him on his way, and then to stay and to remain faithful and pray for what you can do to serve the friend of the friend. Each of us in our own hearts have someone or something that we may be called to be committed to or to make a sacrifice for. And we might be called to open our hearts and minds to the new life that is going to be laid out before us, not knowing what that's going to look like or feel like. To lay down the life that you have had for 10 years so that God may do a new thing in you. God is calling you to embrace Jesus as your friend, who lived that we might have life, who died that we might have life, who came again that we might have life. Because bidden or unbidden, the one we call Christ remains with us and through us and through all. And so it may be so for you and for me always. Amen.